Well, hello, I'm Darren. I'm one of the student ministers here at St. John's, and I'm a second year student studying at Moore College, if we haven't met. It's my pleasure to be able to preach for us from this passage today. But let me begin with a story. I went away with some friends to an Airbnb, about a 3-hour drive up north. And what happened was, I was driving there by myself, I got there at night, and as I turn off the highway, it's pitch black, there's no street lights at all, and I get to a gate, and so I'm a bit confused. I'm like, well, okay, there's a gate. So I spend 5 minutes trying to figure out the padlock there, and then I start driving down this small dirt road. It's got ditches and it's got potholes, and I'm like, I thought we were going to an Airbnb, what is this? And to top it off, there were animals making noises and moving around, and I swear they were just like 2 or 3 meters away from me. And so I was freaked out. I was like, what is this wilderness reserve that I've entered? I thought we were going and just staying away in a house. Luckily, I did manage to get to the Airbnb. And the next morning I woke up, I took a look outside, and oh, it's a small farm. Okay, that makes sense. And there were nice tall fences that would have kept the cows from getting to my car. So I wasn't in any danger at all, but being able to see clearly, it made a world of a difference. Helped me to see that this wasn't some scary wilderness reserve, but just a good old farm. You might be able to think of a similar experience you've had. Maybe you arrive somewhere at night, and then the next morning when you see the place in the daylight, it turns out it's completely different from what you thought it was. Well, what about the first time that you got your head around who Jesus was? Was it just like seeing a place clearly for the first time? Here's the thing. Seeing who Jesus really is seriously important. If we just fumble around and take a stab in the dark as to who he is, we're going to get Jesus totally wrong. For example, if you think that Jesus is just a carpenter from Nazareth who taught some good morals, then maybe we can learn some nice lessons from him, but that's about it. But if we see Jesus for who he really is, then that changes everything about our response. So do you see who Jesus really is? Because the difference between whether you don't or you do is quite literally night and day. In our passage today, we have a bunch of people who all see Jesus and interact with him. We can ask the same question of these characters. Do they see who Jesus really is? Are they fumbling about in the dark, or do they see him clearly in the light? How they respond will help us to see who Jesus is and help us to respond rightly to him. So let's pray for God's help as we start. Father God, we give you thanks for your word that you speak to us, for the Gospel of Luke. We give thanks that we can learn about who Jesus is. And so we ask that you might help us to see clearly who Jesus is as we dig into your word today. And we pray this in his name. Amen. So we're starting at point one, the people who don't see. Now, you may have noticed that we've jumped quite a bit ahead in the book of Luke. We're moving now to the last third of the book, and this is in the lead up to Easter in 3 weeks' time. So, let me attempt to give you a very, very brief and very much insufficient recap of what Jesus has been up to since the start of chapter 6, which we looked at last week, till our passage today. So, Jesus has been in Galilee, the northern part of Israel, and he's been teaching and casting out demons and performing miracles. And importantly, in chapter 9, verse 51, we get told that when the days drew near for him to be taken up, he set his face to go to Jerusalem. So from that point on, Jesus has been traveling from Galilee all the way down south to the city of Jerusalem. And in our passage today, Jesus is near Jericho, which is just a few kilometers out. So Jesus has basically done the equivalent of traveling from Newcastle all the way to Sydney by foot, and right now he's just making a pit stop at Hornsby. Jesus is about to enter Jerusalem. And this is where our first characters in our passage show up. Enter the 12 disciples in verse 31 of chapter 18. And as a note, it'd be great to have your Bibles open to follow along in Luke 18. So, do the disciples see who Jesus really is? Let's have a read and find out from verse 31. And taking the 12, he said to them, "See, we are going up to Jerusalem, and everything that is written about the Son of Man by the prophets will be accomplished. For he will be delivered over to the Gentiles and will be mocked and shamefully treated and spit upon. And after flogging him, they will kill him, and on the third day he will rise." But they understood none of these things. This saying was hidden from them, and they did not grasp what was said. This is the third time that Jesus is telling his disciples that he's going to die. But they still don't see it or get it. They know he is the Christ. Peter confessed that back in chapter 9. The Christ means that Jesus is the king that God promised in the Old Testament. But they expected God's king to enter triumphantly into Jerusalem, to be crowned. The Son of Man, he's a kingly figure in the Old Testament who comes in power and glory. Nations serve him. But instead, Jesus is telling them that he's going to die. And on top of that, he's going to be humiliated in the process. That language of being delivered over to the Gentiles is exile language. Back in the Old Testament, Israel was handed over to their enemies and into exile because of their sin. Those who are handed over to the other nations are under God's wrath. But Jesus is God's king, and he's Israel's representative. So how can the king be subject to God's wrath and punishment? And on top of that, he's going to be mocked and spat on and flogged. It's complete and utter humiliation. Why does God's king have to suffer and die? Jesus himself knows why. We see it in verse 31. He says it's so that everything that is written about the Son of Man by the prophets will be accomplished. Jesus willingly heads to the cross because he knows that it will bring all the promises of God to their fulfillment. But for the disciples, this makes no sense at all. This is kind of like if King Charles, before he was coronated and crowned as king, if he said that, "Oh, I need to go to North Korea for some reason and do slave labor there for 3 years before I can be the king of England." That's how ridiculous it sounds. You can see why the disciples don't get it, can't get it, in fact. We're told it's hidden from them. You see, the disciples have been spiritually blinded. They're looking blindly in the dark at Jesus, and they don't get that he must suffer and die in order to accomplish God's promises in the Old Testament. And when we come to the blind man in Jericho, our second character isn't the blind man, actually. It's the crowd. They seem to like Jesus. I mean, they're gathering to see him, but they also don't get who he is. When the blind man asks what's happening, they say in verse 37, "Jesus of Nazareth is passing by." They recognize Jesus by his hometown, a little tiny spot in Galilee. And so they think Jesus is a famous guy, but he's from Whoop Whoop. They don't see that Jesus is the king, and they don't get what he's on about. You can see it in how they try to rebuke and silence the blind man. They don't think it's worth Jesus' time to stop and talk to one of the lowest of the lows of society. The crowd is spiritually blind, even more so than the disciples, because they don't get that Jesus is the king. But of course, there's one character in our passage today who gets it. It's the blind man who sees Jesus. How amazing is it that the guy who physically can't see anything, he's the one who sees Jesus clear as day. And so point to what the blind man sees. How do we know that the blind man gets who Jesus is? We know that because he calls him Jesus, Son of David, unlike the crowd who just called Jesus, Jesus of Nazareth. The blind man is the only person in the book of Luke to call Jesus the Son of David. And that's more Old Testament language. It means that Jesus is a descendant of King David, and more importantly, it means that Jesus is God's king who's going to rule forever. It's another way of saying that Jesus is the Christ. And if you're curious to read more about it, you can flip back later in your own time to 2 Samuel chapter 7. But as you hear Jesus being called the Son of David, This should also be making you recall some of the things that we've actually seen at the start of Luke's gospel, as we've had it preached to us over the last few months. Mary was told back in chapter 1 that the Lord God will give to Jesus the throne of his father David, that he will reign forever. And Zechariah, also in chapter 1, prophesied that God has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. All of these great promises at the beginning of Luke's gospel, they're being brought together now as Jesus is about to enter Jerusalem. And on top of that, in chapter 4 of Luke, Jesus identified himself as the promised man from Isaiah 61. He's the anointed one who proclaims the good news to the poor and liberty to the oppressed. And guess what? Who recovers the sight of the blind. And look what's happening here in our passage today in more than one way. The blind man is the one who sees all of this. And so what makes the difference? Why does the blind man get it and see when the disciples don't? Well, there's a hint earlier in chapter 18. There's a rich young ruler who comes to Jesus, but he fails to give up his wealth to follow Jesus. And so the disciples ask, who can be saved? And Jesus' answer is this: what is impossible with man is possible with God. God is the one at work. He is the one who hid the fact that Jesus had to suffer from the disciples. But here, he's also recovering the spiritual sight of the blind man so that he can see who Jesus is, the Son of David. And so, you can see how the blind man is completely and totally convinced that Jesus can help him. He trusts that Jesus is powerful, and he cries out, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And he cries out even louder when the crowd tries to silence him. And of course, Jesus loves him and is compassionate and merciful. He asks what the blind man wants, and the blind man asks to recover his sight. And with just a word, Jesus heals him. Jesus is powerful to heal. Just like it was written in Isaiah, Jesus recovers the sight of the blind. And actually, the blind man gets more than what he bargained for. He wanted to see again, and Jesus healed him, but not only that, Jesus has saved him. In verse 42, Jesus says to the blind man, "Your faith has made you well." And the word for "made you well," well, in the Greek, it has a literal sense that means to save. Jesus is saying to the blind man, "Your faith has saved you." So what we see is that Jesus is the King who saves those who have faith in him. He has the power to save people, but in order for him to do so, he needs to go to the cross. And that's why he told his disciples that he needed to suffer. God's King must suffer, die, and rise so that he can save people. And Jesus saves people not just from physical ailments like blindness, but most of all, from spiritual blindness. The crowd was blind. They had no idea that Jesus was the King. And the disciples were also blinded. They didn't understand that Jesus had to suffer. And so neither group responds to Jesus rightly. If we don't see Jesus clearly as the King who suffers, we make the same mistake. If we're spiritually blind to the true reality that Jesus is the reigning King over everyone, then we will keep living with ourselves as King. We'll keep making decisions for our own selfish gain. We'll keep living a life dictated by our own rules, and we'll keep following our own desires and passions. But if we see that Jesus is the King, that changes everything. Jesus saves us from our spiritual blindness so that we can follow him. So, point three, seeing clearly means following. That's how the blind man responds, there in verse 43. And immediately he recovered his sight and followed him, glorifying God. The very first thing the blind man does when he's healed is he gets up and he follows Jesus. Both his physical and spiritual blindness has been healed. He sees and knows who Jesus is, that Jesus is God's King who rules over the world. And that's why the man, who's now no longer blind, is willing to leave everything to follow him. He follows Jesus as Jesus himself heads to the cross in order to save all people. This is an amazing miracle. In fact, this is the last miracle that Jesus performs in the book of Luke. And so it's fitting that the blind man and the people around him praise and glorify God for what's happened. God's chosen king is saving people from their blindness, and that brings glory to God. But what about us? Do we see who Jesus is? If we don't see that Jesus is God's king, then we're just like the crowd. And if we don't see that he had to suffer to save us, then we're just like the disciples. We're fumbling around in the dark. We're blind, and we're spiritually blind, and we can't make our way out. If we don't see Jesus for who he really is, we get him wrong, and the way we respond to him is wrong. So if you're sitting here today and you don't see or consider Jesus as king, I want to urge you, see who Jesus really is. Our passage today is crystal clear. Jesus is the king who suffers and who saves. And so if you realize that you're stuck in spiritual blindness, then cry out. Cry out to Jesus for mercy, just like the blind man. Jesus is kind and gracious. He loves you, and he suffered so that he might save you. All you need to do is trust in him. And if you're still unsure, that's okay. Maybe what you've heard today about Jesus makes you curious and you want to find out more about who he is. If that's you, let me encourage you, don't let this just slip by you. Really figure out who Jesus is by reading the Bible and seeing what it says about him. If you're keen to do that, well, we run a short 4-week course called Explore here at St. John's, where we go through Mark, another book of the Bible, and look at what the Bible says about who Jesus is. If you're keen to find out more about Jesus, then please come speak to me or to Bruce or any of the other ministers here at St. John's after our service, because we'd love to help you investigate and see who Jesus is. And if you've already put your trust in Jesus as your king, well, I hope this passage is an encouraging reminder. We all used to be in the dark. We were all spiritually blind, just like the disciples and the crowd. But God has worked powerfully in our lives and restored our eyesight to see Jesus as king. If you're anything like me, though, it's so easy to get distracted by everything else that's going on in life and to lose sight of Jesus. But Luke has made it clear. We need to see and remember that Jesus is the king who suffers and who saves us. He's the most important person in our lives, and our response should be to follow him with everything that we have, just like the blind man. That means following Jesus in the way that we speak, in the way that we live, in the way that we love others, in the way that we use our money, even in the way that we make those big decisions in life. If we see that Jesus is king, that means following him with everything that we have. And there's one other thing I reckon that we can be encouraged by as we see Jesus save the blind man. Be encouraged that God is in the business of the impossible. What is impossible with man is possible with God. God is interested in saving all people, even that person in our life who we look at and we think, nah, there's no way that they would see who Jesus is. But sometimes it's the blind who God makes to see. It's the person that we least expect. And if you think about it, that makes our job of evangelism so much easier. Because I'm not the one who needs to open and restore the eyes of the blind. My job is simply to tell people about Jesus, and God is the one who will open blind eyes. God has mercy on the blind and on those who could never see. So is there someone in my life that I could speak to about Jesus? Friends, do you see who Jesus really is? Being in the dark and not being able to see, it can be terrifying. But if we look to Jesus and see him clearly, then we can be saved from our spiritual blindness. Jesus is the king who suffers and who saves us. And the fitting response to this is to follow him with our lives and to give praise and glory to God.